Welcome to Education Perspectives. I am your host, Liza Holland. This is a podcast that explores the role of education in our society from a variety of lenses. Education needs to evolve to meet the needs of today and the future. Solving such huge issues requires understanding. Join me as we begin to explore the many perspectives of education. We are so excited today to have Dr. Marty Mill with us here at Education Perspectives. Dr. Marty Mill is the principal of Tates Creek High School in Lexington, Kentucky. Dr. Mills has been a member of the Tates Creek campus family for over 20 years as a student teacher, English teacher, and associate principal, and now as head principal for the last 6 years. Dr. Marty Mills, so great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Holland. It's great to see you. And great to be part of your podcast. Thank you for this opportunity.
Well, for our listeners to know, I was a very proud parent, Tates Creek High School children, and had the opportunity to see Dr. Mills in action. And he is literally one of the principals that I respect most in my journey. And so I'm really honored to have you here.
Well, thank you so much. Your kind words are not only appreciated, but mean a lot because I just always respected and still do respect you as an advocate for education. And that is one of the things that I love about our school community is you and so many others who did not mind saying, no, this is not right. This is what our kids need and deserve. So I appreciate you so much for that. And in your quest to continue to advocate for education. So thank you.
Yes, indeed. I decided last year I have a good 15 years left in me and I'm going to dedicate it to education. So you know, we start here. The concept of this podcast was really looking at how many different perspectives there are on this massive thing we call education. And so I like to start out with the overarching question about why do you think that we choose to educate as a society?
Well, education is the foundation for everything, whether you are college bound, career bound, no matter what. That's the one connecting piece of everyone actually in our world, education. Everyone goes through school at some point, and it's just such an important part of that foundational learning. And I feel, and I'm of course biased because I'm an educator, but I feel that education really helps along with how children are raised with what happens as an adult. It has such an effect on adulthood and next steps in many avenues.
Absolutely. So obviously a very important topic, but what drew you personally to education as a career?
Well, it's always an interesting question because I grew up with educators. I'm in my family. And then my mother and grandmother were huge proponents of education and the importance of it. Growing up, it was never the conversation of if I or my sister were going to college. It was always when and where, mm-hmm. and those kind of discussions. So I think that had that importance of education at home kind of established that foundation. In college, initially, I was a double major, public relations and English, and decided to get to go into teaching, student taught in order to have my teacher certification because the person I was dating at the time, she was looking at grad schools out of state. So I thought, I'll student teach, get certified, and then if I can't find a job, then I like English. I can teach. I student taught here at Tates Creek, and that was it. Fell in love with it and have never regretted a day of that decision. I knew after my student teaching experience, this is what I want to do. And I credit my supervising teacher at that. Her name was Roxanne Richardson. She was a Tates Creek alum. I taught at Lafayette, but then had come back to Tates Creek. And my experience with her was just amazing. She was a veteran teacher, nurturing, but also gave me great feedback. So I really credit, to be honest, a lot of my love for the profession to her and her always just reminding me that, you know, every day is not always going to be a good day. But when you love what you do, those bad moments, you just deal with. So that's kind of how my journey started.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit more about what you love about what you do. What are the specific things that really give you energy and give you joy?
Our kids, 100%. Every day, even on the bad days, or I don't believe in bad days, bad moments, I still go back to there are kids in this building who come here every single day and love it here and want to be here. And, you know, when we miss a few days, who will say, I missed you all, or, you know, just really love the community, you know, that helps with the culture of our building. But so hands down, the kids. I also love working with people who love kids. One of the questions that I ask whenever we interview candidates, and it sounds silly, but one of my first questions is, do you love kids? And if it's not an unconditional, absolutely yes, if they hesitate or like, well, they're not the person for our school. You have to love kids to work in this building. Once you have that, everything else then just comes together. But if you don't love kids, kids are hard. They're hard. And, you know, they're not always at their best, but that's part of that maturation and growing and learning. Their brains aren't fully developed. So loving them is required so that when times are tough, you can kind of work through that and recognize that the work that you're doing still makes a difference and is worthwhile.
You know, one of the things that I have found to be most critical in a successful school, with my background with PTA, I managed to get into a lot of schools, a lot of buildings. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that really stuck out to me at Tate's Creek was the culture of really knowing the kids. You guys would stand out in the hallway and have conversations that, you know, were continuing conversations. Can you talk to me a little bit more about that? I know that that's probably more of a high school thing, but it really impressed me.
And that's, I'm glad you said that, and thank you. Whenever we implemented part of the 10-point safety plan from Manny Cock 5 years ago, implemented metal detectors, I decided very quickly that it was going to be an all-hands-on-deck sort of thing with our leadership team, myself included. But one of the things that really worried me at that time was, I do not want the first thing a kid to see when they walk in this building is to be a metal detector. So I started standing out front at the old building, and I still continue that now to this day. But I'm out front, rain, snow, sleet, sunshine, I'm out there, I'm greeting kids. And what that has done is every morning I get to see kids walk in the building. And so I'm able to tell, is Marty Jr. off today? Is something wrong? And if something is, and I can catch him, hey, what's wrong? What can I do? Or when a parent shows up, you know, they're just out enrolling their kid, they see me first. And so I get to introduce myself, welcome them to the community, and have a conversation. So the value of that relationships is really what I think is probably one of the best things about our school community, to be honest. I tell our parents at freshman orientation, you can't have my love and not my discipline in terms of your kids. And we're going to love them, and I'm going to love your child like he or she is mine, always. But when they step out of line, I'm going to get in behind them too. So I need for you to accept that and know that we are a packet, that we're a team. And the 7.5 hours that I have them during the day, I'm going to love them, I'm going to treat them like they're mine, but that's just part of the culture of our building. And so then when Marty Jr. is having an off day or even needs something, he feels comfortable coming to me or to whoever their person is. I'm also very open on the PA at the beginning of the year and throughout the year about every kid in this building having a person. So I'll say, who is your person? And it can be an administrator, a teacher, one of the clerical staff, you know, office assistants. It might be one of the cafeteria ladies or one of our custodians, a coach. Doesn't matter who it is. I just need to know that every child has somebody that when they need something, they can go to that person.
That is such an amazingly wonderful thing for all kids. And I know it certainly made a difference to mine. And so thank you. And just as a quick thing, it was before all the crazy safety stuff. These guys were still out in,
yes,
in well, the hallways and meeting and knowing kids and all that kind of stuff.
And too, I give, so. And so, and I do want to say, I give that credit to Sam Mukes, who was our former principal. Yeah. And that was one of the things that I did learn from Mr. Mukes. Mm-hmm. When I was an AP and as a teacher, I really saw him in action with kids and how much that impacted, you know, those relationships and student behavior. So when I moved into this role before all this, even before all the safety stuff, like you said, that was just an expectation that I then had for myself and for our APs. So when you walk down our halls, you're going to see an administrator, and that's in the cafeteria, that's everywhere, after school events. One of us is always present for athletics, and not only athletics, but you know, our drama performances and our musical performances. Everybody matters in our school community. So we want to make sure that they feel our presence and that they know that we're there cheering them on and supporting them in whatever endeavor they're part of.
Well, I've noticed since I've been gone how much you have given to social media and being able to let those of us who have left the building still continue on the journey. And one of the things that I have really noticed is the amount of student agency that you are giving permission to, especially with morning announcements and that sort of a thing. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. A few years ago, again, 6 years ago when I moved into this role, as social media was really picking up. And at first, to be honest, was a little hesitant just because I didn't know it. So I started leaning on some of our younger teachers who were former students of mine and said, teach me. And I'm also very much, I also thought, you know what, this is a great way for me to connect with kids too. So then I started asking kids, teach me how to use Instagram. Teach me how to use Twitter. I'm of that generation where I knew how to use Facebook. But in order to get to all of our audiences, like even now, right now, I'm kind of experimenting with TikTok. So that social media piece, I have decided to embrace it, and it has done amazing things for our school community in terms of putting our kids out there. And it's very rare, as you'll see, that you ever see me on there, because my goal is to promote our kids. And my goal is for people in the community to see how great our kids are and how great our staff members are. And I feel like if I'm not telling our story, then someone else will. And they won't tell it as well, nor as positively. And so, for instance, each month, you know, Black History Month, back in February, every morning we had kids read a Black History Month fact. And so I just videoed the kid and then I would add it to social media. And the number of people were saying, wow, this is great. You know, thank you for promoting kids. And I even had some parents reach out to me and say, how does my kid get chosen to do this? So that was pretty cool. But it was really honestly random. I would just pick a kid in the hall and say, hey, do you want to do this month's fact or this day's fact? Very rare did a kid say no. Sometimes they're a little shy. Mm-hmm. And so for kids that were shy, I would say, well, you know what? Let's go ahead and pick out a person. Then this way you can practice for a day or two. And then when you're comfortable, then you can read.
What a great idea.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like, you know, as a former English teacher, that reading piece is very important to me. And so making sure that they can pronounce words correctly and the fluency, you know, all those different things. Because the other piece of that is I also know that when you video kids and you put kids out there, other kids can sometimes be very critical. So making sure that it's done well and right is also important to me, because I never want to put a kid out there and maybe made fun of or embarrassed or anything like that. So that practice piece is very important.
That's really empowering too. So good on you there. We had an opportunity to talk a little bit before we started recording about this amazing new building that you have. And I'd love for you to share with our listeners a little bit about what you have found as far as the impact that the actual environment can have on kids and learning.
Absolutely. As I was saying to you, for anyone who doesn't recognize the impact that the environment in which kids learn, that it has on student learning, I invite you to come out and see our new building. It's absolutely breathtaking. And our kids and staff, just the demeanor and the pride that they have in the new building, being able to sit in the classroom or an office and look out and see the sun, or just see, even if it's raining, as opposed to being in the old building that fit the needs of when it was built back in 65. But as times change, I'm glad that Manny Koch was very progressive in thinking, and the board at that time, I'm very appreciative of them for seeing the value in us having a new building and what it did for our school community.
Absolutely. I think that kids, teachers, administrators, when we can provide an environment that is conducive to really good learning and makes them feel valued, that really should be a major concern. It really is.
Absolutely. Well, and when people, I've heard people say, gosh, why did you all get a new building? And my response has been, well, why don't why don't my kids deserve this building?
Exactly.
And then, oh no, I didn't mean it that way. I'm like, well, regardless of how you meant it, I get very defensive of my kids and our school community. And so I want, you know, this is what we deserve. And it's been amazing for not only our school community, but the local community as well. I feel like 21 years in, I have to be as invested in our school as I am the local community. So the Takes Creek, Gainesway area, Armstrong, it's very important to me because this is the community that we serve. And, you know, our students are going to be leaving us and going out into the workforce. And my hope is that everyone will stay here in Lexington. I know that won't happen, but we have to produce hardworking, strongworking young adults who can then be contributing members to society. And so that all starts here.
Absolutely. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that looks like as far as investing in the community and in the community outreach that you do?
Absolutely. So with our academy model, we started the career academies back about 5 years ago. So all freshmen are in freshman academy, but then we have our four career academies for our 10th through 12th graders. And it's based on career and technical pathways. And so those CTE pathways are part of accountability for the state in terms of college and career readiness. So you can become college and career ready by completing a pathway and passing an industry certification or end of program assessment, or through classes such as our IB classes and earning certain scores on ACT, things of that nature. But one of the things that I talk about with our kids a lot is, you know, charity begins at home. So with our IB program, one of the it's called the CAST Project. And so part of that, we always try to focus on things here, either at school or, you know, we have a very great opportunity on, we're the only campus in town that has the elementary, middle, and high. So we partner a lot with our elementary and middle schools. And then we have worked, the Gainesway Center has gone through some changes recently. And so we are working to establish some relationships with some of those new businesses. But the city just opened the new community center. Gainesway Community Center has reopened, and they've actually renamed it as the Takes Creek Community Center. So that just opened in the fall. So we're working on with them on some things. So there's various projects going on, but ultimately one of the things that I always encourage our kids is that we are very blessed with resources, and helping the community and serving the community is just what we do. It's part of what we do. So, and serving the community can be done in various ways. You just have to find what strength is your best attribute and then serve the community in that way. Because how I serve may be different than how you serve, and neither way is wrong and neither way is less than, but we're still contributing. So that's an important piece of, you know, what we try to teach our kids every day.
That's a wonderful thing. It really is. Obviously, you've had a long and lustrous career there, and I believe very much in the power of stories. Can you tell us a favorite story about your time in education?
Gosh, to pick just one, I think right now, probably one of my favorite stories is, well, there's two. There are various kids in this building whose parents I taught when I was in the classroom. So that is always kind of heartwarming to me. I refer to them as, I get my grandbabies now. So that's always nice. It's also made me recognize that I'm not young like I used to be anymore. But so that's always, anytime I'm able to connect with kids on that, because that's the sense of community. And that's what we do here. We're very much a family school. And a lot of that has to do with our location. You know, the community, people don't leave this area. And then another phenomenal story. I am very big on the importance of kids seeing people who look like them in our schools. I think that's very important. And the importance of diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. And, you know, those terms mean a variety of things. But in terms of race, I love that our kids, our students of color and our non-students of color, have the opportunity to see me in this leadership position. I just recently, this year, we hired our school social worker. Is an Arabic female. And to my knowledge, I believe she is the one and only social worker, Arabic descent, female in the district. And she wears her traditional hijab, which I love. Yes. But at the beginning of the year, I had a group of girls say to me, Dr. Mills, it is so cool to see Miss Haneen. You know, this is the first time I've ever seen someone who looks like me in school. And I'm not an emotional person, but that one almost did me in. So the fact that those young ladies said that, and it was so heartfelt, it almost did bring a tear to my eye, being very honest. But that's the impact that we as adults have on our kids. And so that's important beyond words.
Yes, it's given me chills right here, tearing up myself. I'm like, wow, that is awesome. Seriously.
Yes.
I think we really underestimate the power there and that modeling and whatnot. So good on you, good on her for going ahead and reaching into the education community this way to be able to have an impact. That's fantastic. Because that whole equity, inclusion, and meeting kids where they are, it's the only way we're going to actually succeed to where all students are succeeding.
I agree 100%.
Okay, so we've talked about the amazing things. Tell me about what are the challenges? What makes it tough?
Well, I think right now, especially as we continue to come out of COVID and establish what our new normal is, I think we are still figuring that out to some degree and seeing the impacts of COVID. We have more mental health professionals in our building now than we ever have. You know, I have a full-time mental health specialist and a part-time one. And that's in addition to all of our counselors and social workers. And all they focus on is mental health, which is great. They don't have to do the academic side. I also have two family and community engagement coordinators. And so they do a variety of jobs, but ultimately their student support as well. I have one that focuses on our Hispanic community because we've had such an, you know, we have a large number of families now part of our community. And then the other focuses on mentoring and just the gamut of things with family and community engagement. But I say all that to mean, you know, some of the challenges that we still face are just making sure that we're meeting kids where they are and being able to provide for them, you know, the support that they need. I would challenge the lawmakers. You know, I always say, and I'll be very candid, it's interesting that people who are making the very rules about school don't work in schools. And that's very frustrating for me and for my colleagues. It's baffling to me some of the things that are being discussed and some of the laws that are made. And my question is always, what teachers did you have on these committees? What principals did you have on these committees? I don't know everything, but I feel like 21 years in, know a little bit, could contribute a lot. But so that's one of the challenges that I think that we face is the lack of resources, but being expected to do so much for kids. But I don't know that we always have the support at the lawmakers level in order to do what we need to do. So I challenge anytime I can talk to anybody that's in Congress or representative, I've said, I would love for you to come out to school and just hang out, see it for a day. You know, don't just come by for a photo op for an hour or two. And I recognize that they're busy. I don't dispute that. But before making laws and decisions that are going to affect all of us who are in the trenches, spend a day a semester, a full day, so that you see from beginning to, and then I think that might help answer some of the questions that they may have about what do people do in a school all day? Because to be honest, what I do today is probably going to be different than what I do tomorrow. But the one thing I can almost guarantee you is that the to-do list that I have, I'm probably not going to finish that because of all the things that come up. I tell our people all the time, we're hands on deck. And we deal with what's present in front of us right now. So to-do lists are cute and nice. And when you're able to get to them, it's wonderful. But we got to deal with who's before us. And that's our kids and our families and making sure that they have what they need.
You know, that's part of why I really wanted to make sure to be talking to people in the classroom and in the building with this podcast, because I found myself the parent representative at a bunch of meetings, even within the Kentucky Department of Education. And I'm the only one in the room raising their hand going, you know, teachers don't have time to do that, right? And I'd get people to come after the meeting and go, yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, blah, blah, blah. But people need to see and understand what's actually happening on the ground. And they need to hear voices like yours who care so very deeply for our kids. And I'm very concerned that we don't give enough deference to the profession. You know, you people have talked a little bit about all the education that you have put together to be a principal at your school.
Sure. So I earned bachelor degrees in public relations and English education, and a master's degree in English, a master's degree in instructional leadership, which is how I became a principal. And then my doctorate is in education administration. And that has given me my superintendency certificate. So a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of effort have gone into, and even for our teachers, you know, the law changed a few years ago, but when I first started, we were required to have a master's degree within 10 years. And so you worked during the day and then you went to school at night. And that was just kind of the norm at the time.
And you were required to pay for it yourself. We did Correct. Not have a return on investment in the amount of pay that you all are getting. And I think people need to be cognizant of what can you expect based upon the structures that you're putting in place and, you know, all of the expectations that are there. I think that's particularly challenging because I can't think of another profession like this that is subject to laws by legislators who are not doing that type of work.
Sure. And one of my biggest fears, just again, being very candid, I worry that we are losing great teacher candidates to other professions because of the lack of pay and just generally some of the apathy that is put towards education. And when teachers retire and maybe don't retire and have the best feeling about it and speak very honestly about their experiences. And I don't want to take away from anyone's experience. But that is really, I fear too, is what's keeping a lot of our young people from going into education because they have a parent or a grandparent or an auntie or an uncle who are saying, oh no, don't do it. Be an engineer, be a doctor, be a lawyer, you know, do all these other things. And really what it comes down to for a lot to be what I hear is it's the money. You know, you can make so much more money doing other professions. One of the things I continue to remind our kids, we have a teaching and learning pathway with the Grow Your Own initiative through the state now. But one of the things I tell kids all the time is you're never going to be rich as an educator. I'll go ahead and say that now. However, the pay of the relationships and helping others and working with kids, gosh, it feels good. It really does. It feels good. But then you also have to be able to pay your rent and eat. And, you know, sometimes have a little fun. So it's that balance. But I worry that if some things don't change with funding and as years continue, we're going to continue to miss out on a lot of great teachers.
Well, you know, my last question is always, what do you want decision makers to know? And we've touched on that a little bit. But I think that anybody listening, we're all voters. Realistically, we're the ultimate decision makers. And needing to know this and needing to share this with those that choose to step up and represent you is a really important piece of this puzzle.
I agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, I hear people a lot of times say, well, my vote doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Yes,
it most certainly does. And for those of us who need a boost every once in a while, you ought to check out episode 2 of Education Perspectives. I got a chance to chat with Caitlin Bowman, who is at UCAS studying to be a teacher and starting her student teaching right now and whatnot. And it gives you a lot of hope. She is a rock star. So
love it. I love it. Well, and I would like to extend for any listener, anyone who's interested in with our academy model, each of our academies, we have advisory boards. So for people wondering, how can I get more involved in education? Please reach out to me. I would love to have volunteers, anyone who just wants to contribute to education in a positive way. We welcome you.
Excellent. Please, all of you out there, do it. It's amazing what these folks are doing and helping our kids. And we as part of community really need to be stepping up and being a part of that solution as well.
Well, thank you.
Well, Dr. Mills, thank you so very much for taking the time out of your incredibly busy day to chat with me. I think that we've covered a lot of really neat and important pieces. So thanks so much for being on Education Perspectives.
Thank you again for the opportunity. It's been wonderful catching up. And thank you for thinking enough of education to include me in this, in your podcast, and to hear my perspective. It's appreciated more than you know.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Education Perspectives. Feel free to share your thoughts on our Facebook page. Let us know which education perspectives you would like to hear or share. Please subscribe and share with your friends.